Send your Bibles this evening into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. I want to pick up where I left off this morning in Luke's Gospel 24. If you'd stand with us tonight, let's honor the reading of the Word of God found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. The Bible said, verse 33 of Luke 24, they rose up the same hour after that he had talked with them and vanished out of their sight. And so they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, how the Lord had appeared to them, how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They never knew him till he reached his hands out and broke the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. They were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this special time tonight in the house of God. Thank you, Lord. We've got a good place to worship. I want to thank you publicly, Lord, for Liberty Baptist Church and God, what you've done here and what you're doing here. And God, what you're going to do here, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I'm a needy preacher. I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing a few minutes tonight. Thank you for these testimonies that's been shared. Thank you for the songs that's been sung. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's moved in this assembly tonight. Help us now in the preaching, and I'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. I ask you, amen. And amen. Turn with me now to the right in your Bibles and look in that parallel gospel in John chapter number 20. And let's look at a few things tonight. We've seen as Luke, the great physician, had pinned down. Let's look what John seen in the same story. The Bible said in John 20:19, then the same day at evening, this is Easter afternoon, being the first day of the week on Sunday, he said that the doors were shut. They were having a Sunday night assembly. And the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Why? Because they had just crucified their Lord. And no doubt, as God said, why does these things arise in your heart? Surely many of those thought, well, if they've killed the Lord, they're coming for us too. I want to say tonight that we're all human. Matter of fact, we're so human it scares me. As Brother Vince said tonight, as a man of God and the call of God upon my life, I scare me more than anybody scares me in this world. I want to have a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. I want to have a testimony that is right. And I'd ask that you'd pray for me, that God would hedge me and my family in. And so, there's many times that fear arises in my heart, Brother Randy. But I want you to notice that as this story unfolds, the Bible simply says this. The Bible said they were assembled for fear of the Jews, and came Jesus and stood in the midst. Saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, as Brother Donald said, when they saw the Lord. Isn't it amazing how people stand up and testify what's been on my heart all the evening? Then said Jesus to them again, peace be to you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them. Saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand to his side. Look what he said. I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Must have been a deep scar. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas said this doctrinal quote, my Lord and my God. I want to preach on three thoughts out of John 20 tonight on something the disciples needed and whatever church needs tonight. Now I want you to notice these two that on the Emmaus Road, as I spoke this morning, they could have been husband and wife. No doubt could have been. Many believe they were, but we know this. When Jesus left them, they went back to an upper room where those 11 were and reported to them that they saw the Lord. No doubt there were many gathered together that night, and they were gathered together in a very unstable society. Tonight, you don't have to watch Fox News, and that's about the only thing I'll look at, that and the History Channel. But I want to say something. It don't take a lot of TV to realize it's unstable times tonight. Now, I want to say something. This is what I want you to say. This is what the Holy Ghost put in my heart driving back to my house today after I preached here this morning. We've got a nice facility. God has blessed us with a facility like not many other people ever get to enjoy. God has given us people at a facility that not very many, if you really think about the people of Liberty, they're choice people that have come from other places for other reason that God has used in this ministry, or they've been saved out of the depths of the sin of this world. God's been good to this place. And as this, the disciples of the Lord were gathered and they got the doors locked, I want to show three things tonight that those disciples had to have that we've got to have church in this day and this hour. Now, first of all, by way of outline tonight, I want to say that these disciples had evidence. They had evidence. You'll notice in verse 19, first of all, they had a Christ that was walking. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I'm glad tonight there's evidence that there's a Christ that's walking. Yes, every preacher is flesh and blood, but aren't you glad the Spirit of God in Christ's likeness can use men of God in these last days? Now, they had evidence that Christ was walking. I'm glad the Lord walked through here this morning. I'm glad the Lord walked through here tonight. What would it be like to go to a church where Christ was not walking in the midst? I'd say it'd be a pitiful service. And you know, preaching many times is like, I've said this a lot of times, it's like in a gold mine. God puts something in a preacher's heart and he outlines, and as you go through the sermon, it's like you just hitting the hardest wall and the hardest rock that you've ever hit, but you're going for the gold. And all of a sudden you'll feel it hit a place and it starts gushing. I'm glad we can go to church where the Spirit of God is and where Christ is walking. I'm glad He's walking in our midst on a Sunday night. You know what, my wife come, and I wouldn't embarrass her for nothing, and you neither. You know what, my wife, the Holy Ghost burdened her a while ago for one of your children and one of your grandchildren to get saved. God broke my wife right over there by that altar a while ago and said, Ken, help me pray for so-and-so. I'm glad Christ is walking. And unless Christ is walking, it's just another building. But they have the doors locked. We better watch our doors. Listen to me, church. We're not going to fill this place up with the world. We better watch our doors. We got to have Christ involved. If you don't watch the doors, critters will come in. We got a cat. Cat, it's amazing how big a cat grows in no time. And I got home today, and every time this cat's got so smart, he can hear me making my coffee in the morning. He's a pawing at the door, about got my door tore up. It's about time to get the shotgun out. Somebody say amen. I know you tree huggers don't like that. Sometimes a man got to fend himself with a wild cat. Say amen. I've noticed if you'll just crack that door, any dark. I come out this morning, go to church, open the door, Miss Ray, get ready, and that cat run in. And he's got so wise, he won't let me catch him for nothing. He'll run under furniture. He'll get under low, dark places where I can't get my hands on him. Better watch your door, critters come in. Now, let me tell you, we love sinners. And you look at your preacher and you get this real good. It's not up to you to run people off out of this ministry. You let the Holy Ghost do it with the Word of God. Whether He draws them or pushes them, you'll stand in judgment for who you run out of this place. And you better listen to your man of God tonight. Who are you to be jury? The doors. Christ that's walking. Number two, they had a cross that was working. Look in verse number 20. When he had so said, he showed on them his hands and his side. They've got a cross that's working. You say, how's it working? Oh, it rearranges your hands. Rearranges your side. I'm glad I'm more tender. You wouldn't believe how mean I was preaching 30 years ago. But I tell you what I've noticed, the help I've got is what others need. And mean-spirited preachers are good for nothing. But you hear me and hear me well. You can preach right and you ain't got to be mean about it. I'm glad there's a cross that's working. The Lord said, look how it's affected me. Can I tell you, if you've ever been to Calvary, it will affect you. People that just make a profession, they've never been changed. But honey, when you get around bloody Calvary, it'll leave some imprints on you. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. I know I'm not where I need to be, nor where I could be. Brother Vince is exactly right. The reason this church is no better, because it's us. But I want to tell you this, something they needed was evidence. You ever seen Christ walking here? You ever seen the cross working here? Cross breaks people. Cross changes people. I know our Lord was God. He was sinless. But yet it did have some effects on Him. It's going to have some effects on you if you get around Calvary. We need to preach the cross high and lifted tonight. I know we live in a time, so don't you preach that bloody gospel. You're going to offend somebody. That's what's wrong with our nation today. We're afraid we're going to offend somebody. It's still the blood of Jesus. You know what's going to save your grandbaby, sir? Calvary! Calvary! Ma'am, you know what's going to save your children? It's Calvary! They needed evidence. I'm glad God knows my weakness and I need some evidence. We're all human. But aren't you glad that our God gives evidence of a Christ that's walking, of a cross that's working? But thirdly, I'm glad He gives evidence of a commission that's witnessing. He said, as My Father hath sent Me, even so I send you. Great commission. I'm glad our church is involved in it. There was a missionary and his family here this morning, had three or four children. Another got two twins. They stayed out back all week. I appreciate our families that minister and laboring in these prophet chambers. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of work goes on in this ministry many people know nothing about. And I appreciate the families that will give their time to make beds up for little mission kids that they can have a good place to go before their mom and daddy goes up. You would not believe some places they want to put a preacher and his family in. They had a commission that was witnessing. He said, as My Father hath sent Me, so I send you. There's been a lot of people that's been sent, but they've never went. I'm glad God's still sending people around the world. You say, Brother Ken, how can we go around the world? You go around the world in the mission program. You would not believe what come in this church last month or this month on missions. It's amazing. Can I tell you, God is a mission-minded God church. You better be glad God's a mission-minded God, because He come to where we was and saved us. He's a mission-minded God. Any church is not mission-minded, they'll soon die. Oh my, some evidences of Christ walking. The cross working. And the Great Commission witnessing. I know we can't go around the world, but we can send others around the world. There's a man here from Africa the other week, stood up. You would not believe how smart that man is. How God has used him in so many areas. I'm glad our church knows something about mission. Let me tell you something. Be good to missionaries. Be good to their little old children. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given. You know, God put on my heart this week to help somebody. Cut this off right here just a second. No, leave it on. I'm not going to say the name. I was in a place, and Brother Josh Adams will give his suitcase away. I mean, he's one of the big hardest men I've ever seen. There's a preacher at the meeting. Brother Josh said, let's us preachers take up an offering for him and be a blessing. And I'll be honest with you, the Holy Ghost showed me what to do, and he got my putback money, Brother Adam. I'm talking about some money Miss Renee didn't know about. I got that secret spot, and I got a spot in my billfold that zips. Don't tell Macy, because she goes through my billfold. She done 30 years old. God said, get over there in that zipper part. I'm going to be honest with you. I give and it hurt to give. And lo, I like what Brother David said. Brother David, I picked up this word and I've told Miss Renee. You used to tell me when I first started, said, preacher, what's wrong? A lot of folks say this is a chinchy. Yeah. Chinchy, that means a tight. Some of you wouldn't give a quarter to watch a fire ain't eat the courthouse. Somebody say amen. I'll be honest with you. I said, Lord, I know. I'm just going to mind you. Oh, Bubba Bilfo yesterday. But I don't know how it got there. You say, preacher, you miscounted it. It don't matter if I miscounted or not. I got something today that I didn't think I had yesterday. I love to miscount every week. I mean, I was sitting there scratching my head. Say, I know Macy didn't put it back in there. Somebody say amen. I'm saying God is a mission-minded God, church. How blessed we are to have the missionaries that God's introduced our path to. We can be. Brother Josh got done singing here one time. He said, preacher, I'm going to tell you something happened. Down there where you preach at,
He said, I've never told nobody. He said, me and Miss Amber was going. We didn't know what we was going to do next. I got the next appointment, opened up my guitar to go singing, and my guitar case was full of money. Some of you don't like that, but I don't care if you like it or not. The reason you ain't blessed is Jesus thanked you.
I don't know if that's in the Bible dictionary, but I like it bowed and stinky. It's kissing cousin to stinky. Amen. They had evidence. Secondly, they had dependence. Not only evidence, they had dependence. Look in verse 19. They had to depend upon Him for attitude. Verse 19, the same day evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. When He had said, He showed them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples, Brother Donald, what you said, glad when they saw the Lord. You see, they were dependent upon their attitude. The Lord can change your attitude. They was looking so sad. But all of a sudden when Jesus showed up, they found out they was dependent upon being glad. I looked at this word glad. I wondered really what that had to do with of being glad. It simply means cheerful or being well. They were glad. Man, who wants to come into church where all the members is mad? If you got an old rotten attitude, why would anybody want what you got? Somebody comes in our church and you don't befriend them, go to them, be good to them, kind to them. Why would they want something that was not like that? Brother Michael said it right tonight. These people everywhere are looking for old-fashioned ministry that would just be real and good to somebody. And not four or five families got it so sawed down and disrupted and choked down. Dependence. They were dependent upon the Lord. Can I tell you, in John 15 where He said, without Me you can do nothing, is still in the Bible. We're dependent upon our great Lord. They had dependence because of their attitude. God come by and changed their attitude. They were glad. I like Brother Buddy. When we first started church, Brother Buddy, he's just so simple. I love you. Let me tell you, if anybody wouldn't like Brother Buddy Costley, you got an issue. He's sitting out there one day, people driving by, and he's just waving. Was over here. Somebody said, Brother Buddy, what you doing? He said, I'm just showing everybody we're friendly church. You see, Jesus is in the midst. He'll change your attitude. They were dependent with Him upon their attitude. Verse 21, they were dependent upon Him about their assignments. Now, He said, as My Father hath sent Me, even so send I you. You know what a great opportunity that God would use us that He would send. Three, they had a great dependence of their attitude, of their assignment. But look at verse 22. They had a great dependence upon their assistance. The Bible said when He said this, He breathed on them. Like Brother Vince said, His breath is right tonight. It's what we need, the breath of God. In the beginning, God. The Spirit of God moved. We need the breath of God in our church. Watch this. Listen, listen. The Spirit of God moved and God said. God don't never say nothing unless the Spirit's moving. It didn't say God said and the Spirit moved, but the Spirit moved and God said. God never says nothing unless the Spirit's moving. You see, they were so dependent upon the Lord for their attitude, for their assignments. We need the Lord as He says go. We need Him to help us in our going. What the disciples had that our church needs, they had evidence. God knows how weak we are. Secondly, they had dependence. But thirdly and lastly tonight, they had attendance. Verse 24, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost changes. Right, look what He inserts. But Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. What a tragedy. Now, look at his unreliability. The Bible said he was not with them when Jesus came. I'm accustomed to where people sit and I scan to see who were missing. Then I make a mental note. Why aren't they here? And I want to check and see why they're not here. Some of you will get adjusted before long where you sit. And that's a good thing, can become a bad thing, especially if you think you own that pew you're sitting on. But you don't own that pew you're sitting on. But I want to say tonight that we see His unreliability. Even when I don't feel good, I want to put my best forward to be in my place. Be reliable in the ministry at the church house of God. We see this attendance. We see His unreliability. Then look at verse 25. The issue of everything where I'm going tonight. This was His issue. Not only unreliability, but unbelief. Thomas had a believing problem. For he said, and the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side. Look how dogmatically he makes a statement. I will not believe. You see, unbelief, I believe with all my heart, has to do with whether we come to church or not. It's a faith problem. Lord, increase our faith. I can tell you, when you get to wanting to miss church, it's not so much a flesh problem, it's a faith problem. It's unbelief. But then thirdly and lastly, not only his unreliability and his unbelief, look at his unconsciousness, verse 26. Look what happens. And after 8 days again, His disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus and the doors being shut. Look what He says. He stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. That's the third time He said it to the same congregation. Peace be unto you. See, I want to say something. You're never going to do nothing for God till you've got peace with Christ. And then secondly, you're never going to do nothing for God till you get peace with Christ to go out. The problem with Thomas was his faith, his unbelief. Now, what do you say? Let me ask you something. If you was a preacher, and I know some of you think you are, but you're not, because you want to preach all the time. Come on now. Oh, you preach on the way home. You preach at this table. But I want to ask you something. If you was to look in this passage, what I've done around, what did Thomas miss by not being there that Sunday night? What did he miss? I want to say he missed his place. Your place is counting on you. Then I want to say, secondly, he missed peace. The Lord said peace. But wouldn't that be amazing to go 8 days without peace? It's bad when a man lays down at night and his conscience is bothering him and he ain't got no peace. It's a bad thing. He missed his unconsciousness. What I mean by that unconsciousness, he didn't realize by missing one service what he's going to miss 8 days. A lot of times the devil never shows. There's an unconsciousness about old Thomas. Missed his place, he missed peace. Then thirdly,
He missed some pleasure. You say, why you say that? The Bible said when the disciples saw the Lord, they was glad. It's sometimes you just can't get a tape of the service. A CD and a tape just will not do what the Spirit of God does in the atmosphere of worship. He missed some pleasure. I'm glad I come to church this morning. I'm glad I come tonight. And then, verse 21, he missed a purpose. Because Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so I send I you. I've noticed people that are against missions and against ministry, they're unfaithful. They have a faith problem. Miss his place, miss peace, miss pleasure, miss the purpose. But verse 22, God breathed on him. He missed some power. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to go 8 days without the breath of God on me. God, give me help for my life this morning. God, give me help for my lifetime. It's something that only church will do. Missed power. I need power in my life. You know why? Because I'm a wicked, fleshly man. You say, oh, no, no. And y'all just as bad as I am. We're flesh and blood. We need the presence of God on us. Missed power. You know, unbelief is behind most excuses. If you really think about that, I'm about done preaching. I know some of you didn't look at your watch. We're an hour behind today, then lost an hour. Guess what? You're going to lose 5 more minutes. You think about this just a minute. Nearly every excuse in my life, it has to do with unbelief. Unbelief. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, he missed that power. But now, faith is believing the unseeable. Thomas wanted to see something. He said, Lord, I will not believe. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, okay, will that fix you? He said, come here. And he said, reach out and put your hand in my side. Boy, they done a lot to our Lord. They ripped his side open. They nailed his hands to a cross and they nailed his feet to a cross. I'm going to tell you, Calvary left a mark on our Lord. But lastly, look at this right here, this little nugget in the Word of God. When he said, behold my hands, reach hither the hand, thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I want you to believe, Thomas. Don't be caught up in unbelief. I want you to believe what I said to be true. Can I tell you, a belief is not a blind process. If you'll look it up in the Bible, it always means this: taking God at His Word. His unreliability, his unbelief, his unconsciousness, but his unprecedented statement. Look what he said when he believed. Look what he said. Three doctrines here. Thomas in verse 28 answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. I want to say he first of all said about the doctrine of resurrection, my Lord. Glad Jesus got out of the tomb. Is He your Lord tonight? The doctrine of resurrection. Then he said, my Lord. There's the doctrine of Lordship. Come out, maybe in the 80s, men was trying to preach, after you get saved, He's not Lord till you make Him Lord. Honey, that's crazy. If he ain't Lord from the start, he ain't Lord from the ending. Lordship salvation is Bible believing in Christ. He's Lord of all tonight. I've heard people say, well, you know, if He is Lord, you wouldn't be doing this or that. That's not so. He's Lord in spite of what you ever do.
the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the doctrine of resurrection, the doctrine of lordship. And then lastly, he said, my God. And I want you to look what Christ did. There's the deity of Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. The Lord didn't rebuke him, Brother Joe. He said, my Lord and my God. Talking to Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes, Jesus did not rebuke him. I'm glad tonight he got up out of the grave. Glad he's my Lord. And I'm glad he's my God. Glad he's my God on a Sunday night. When the time changed, he's still my God. Thank you for being here tonight. Stand with us. I enjoyed preaching. I enjoyed being at church tonight.